to a well-designed business. My name is Luann Nigara, and I'm so glad you found this podcast. Together with my husband Vince and our partner Bill, we have grown our company Window Works from the ground up. So I know and I understand the challenges you face in running your interior design business. I also know that your talent alone isn't enough to ensure your success. So on this podcast, we talk about strategies and practical steps to help you grow your business. But make no mistake about it, we have our share of fun here too, mixed in with those aha moments that I love so much. This isn't fluff. Nobody has time for that. Whether you are a new interior designer or a seasoned designer, I am here to help you create and to manage the kind of interior design firm that you dream of. It's straight talk and it's action. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hi, welcome to A Well-Designed Business. It's Power Talk Friday. Mike Peterson is with me today, and he is here to talk about how deeply concerned he is as a marketing professional at how our community of interior designers, that's you, might be missing on a legitimate opportunity for creating awareness of your firm and of differentiating yourself, and by not leaning into a truly valuable distinction that you alone have as an interior designer. Mike says designers improve the health of their clients, period. And he's here to explain what he means by that. Mike Peterson is the founder of Visionary Design Marketing, an innovative marketing and brand firm. Currently, they are leading the way in bringing awareness to our industry that interior designers provide much more than aesthetics. They improve the health of their clients. His experience is rooted in years as leading advertising executive and publisher at Hearst Magazines, including House Beautiful and Country Living. He also has experience in the home furnishing industry, including being president and the CEO of LaBarge Furnishing, and as vice president of corporate marketing for companies such as Henrodon, Lexington, Drexel Heritage, and more. Prior to establishing Visionary Design Marketing, Mike spent 8 years as the publisher of Lux Magazine. I'm delighted to bring this conversation to you today, and I'm also delighted to have Monogram sponsor our show. Have you listened to episode number 536 yet? I encourage you to take some time to do this. Robert Kohler and Alex Scoble take us through the designer trade program that they have designed for you over at Monogram. Alex and Robert explain the benefits of this designer program all through, and they also talk about the quality of the luxury appliances that they are so very proud to offer you so that you can specify them in your projects. To be part of the designer program at Monogram, please go to monogram.com/Luann. That's monogram.com/Luann. All right, let's learn why such an experienced marketing and brand consultant like Mike Peterson is so jazzed up about health and wellness design. Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for joining me on A Well-Designed Business today.
Hey, Luann. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Glad to finally have our conversation today. Looking forward to learning a few new things, I'm sure.
Well, we'll be glad to share.
That's it. So, Mike, let's just start off with, you reached out to me and you made a pretty bold statement today. You said that designers improve the health of their clients. And then you wrote, period. And you said, it's not anecdotal. They're not getting credit for it. And more importantly, you want to teach them to learn to take credit for it. Tell me what this means for you, Mike.
Well, it's not just what it means for me. It's what it means for designers. For years, designers have been saying that, yes, their clients feel better when they walk into one of their rooms. They feel good. Oh, they love the room. What we're trying to do today is move from the anecdotal. We're not trying. We're doing it. We're moving from the anecdotal to the empirical. We now know as an industry that designers do indeed improve the health of their clients. Again, 30 years ago, I feel better about this. Oh, isn't this pretty? Today, we know for certain that when a person walks into a room that is nicely appointed, well decorated, they feel good about it. What happens is that they get a shot of serotonin. A portion of their brain just lights up. And that's a good thing to have serotonin. On the other hand, if they walk into a room that is, let's say, unattractive, they get a shot of cortisol, which is something you don't want to have a lot of. It's not Mike Peterson saying this. What's important is that this whole subject that we're talking about, I call it design harmony, design's influence on health and wellness, it is grounded in authority. And we now know that Johns Hopkins can prove the claims that we're making right now. The Salk Institute, Harvard, governments around the world are using, and medical industries are using this concept to help their patients improve their health. So that's pretty much what we're talking about. And my position as a marketing guy trying to help the industry is, why aren't you taking credit for it? Mm. Why aren't you getting credit? It's already proven. We've moved from anecdotal to empirical. Start including it in your marketing. Start including it in how you present yourself to your clients.
So love all this. Makes sense to me in the big picture of it. But being the questioner by nature that I am, sure. What it is, I guess for me, Mike, and I'm expecting you to truly, I would not say that I need my mind changed. That's way, way, way too much down the wrong lane. But let me say this. Years ago, Cheryl Janis was on the podcast in the first 5 or 6 months of the podcast, and she explained how she had finally, after years, followed her gut and turned her interior design firm into a wellness design firm, where she specialized in environments that were supposed to promote wellness. So whether it be chiropractic offices, waiting rooms of a pediatrician, therapy and rehab centers, the lobbies of hospitals and the rooms of hospitals and so forth. And she had come to the experience because, for whatever, you know, the reasons in her life, she had been a patient often, and often in very serious situations and long lasting. And as a designer in her real life, as a profession, she was consistently noticing the poor environments that she was trying to get well in. And she said to herself, if the places just were nicer, I probably would feel nicer. And so that I'm all the way down the road on. I think it makes perfect sense when you're in a compromised mental and physical space, mentally and physically, personally, that the exterior space could play and should play and does play a lot into it. But you just said that by just simply walking into your own living room, if it's nicely decorated, I get a shot of serotonin. And if it's not nicely decorated, I actually get a shot of cortisol. That's a whole different statement than if it's nicer, I feel better, quicker, faster, as opposed to when it's not nice, it actually negatively affects me.
You're right. And it's interesting that in your question, you start with mostly commercial design.
Right,
and
right.
That's really where a lot of this started. It's funny because commercial design is so far ahead of residential in understanding the impact of what design can do to employees. Take Tim Cook, for instance. Cook is the CEO of Apple. And he doesn't think of his employees as employees. He thinks of them as customers. He needs to make them feel good in their environment so they'll be more productive. Mm. And so if you haven't Googled it up yet, Google up Apple's headquarters in Cupertino, California. It is virtually 100% harmonic design, design harmony, with a heavy dose of biophilic design, nature-driven design, because he knows he wants his employees, his customers, as he thinks of them, to be in an environment where they'll be more productive, more emotionally stable, more mentally ready to contribute. Now, it's that same thought process that is just starting to be included now in residential design. So whether it's sensorial design, you know, attacking and stimulating the five senses with natural light or with certain scents, that is now being offered in interior design, residential design. And, you know, the designers, many of my clients are now including this in what they do in design, and they're seeing you know, all of a sudden they're differentiating themselves. They're different than just an aesthetic design provider. They are more deeply into what is now called in the industry neuroaesthetics, combining the psychological and emotional benefit of good aesthetic design.
But at the root of it, you know, I'm still stuck on my thing. I get stuck on things. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm still stuck on understanding that something negatively at a physiological level is happening as opposed to just the absence of something good happening, right? You know what it's like? It's like what I learned one time that my aunt was always saying to us, you have to, if you're going to have salmon, you have to have wild caught salmon, you have to have wild caught salmon. And so I understood it to mean that wild caught salmon was better for you. And then when I started reading it, it's not that just whatever they call it, farm raised salmon or whatever it is, isn't good for you. It's actually bad for you. See, and that's different than, oh, select one that's better. And so now every time I go to a restaurant and they only say salmon and the waiter says, no, it's not wild caught, it irks me because I want to believe that the piece of salmon that's not wild caught is still good for me. But I intellectually understand that it's not.
Well, let me try and answer the comments and the question you may have.
Yes.
Just think in terms of the things that how you feel. It's really we're not talking about curing cancer here, but we are talking about the emotional feelings you have and how they contribute to your well-being. Because when you feel good, we know that your stress levels come down. We know that your blood pressure comes down and your heart rate comes down. All of those things, a doctor will tell you, make you healthier. But when you walk into a room and let's say the plaids and the stripes just aren't adding up correctly, or there's some kind of really bad design and maybe the windows aren't in a pattern, the correct pattern, something is off. Something dislodges you emotionally. You're not feeling good about that space. When you look at outside architecture and you see windows in a perfect 3x3 pattern, you think to yourself, oh, that's balanced. That looks correct. Mm. But if the image is out of sync, you have a negative reaction to it. And that is not a good place to be. It doesn't make you feel good. And by not feeling good, it doesn't lower your stress. And it's just the antithesis of what good design will do for you from a health perspective.
Interesting. Okay, I'm getting it. So, and it can be subconscious. You don't have to actually understand wonderful or beautiful or symmetrical or any other type of design, it has a subconscious effect on you when the environment isn't right.
It's mostly subconscious. When you think of the concept of beauty, which is where it all started for me 4 or 5 years ago, when you think of the concept of beauty, you don't immediately say to yourself, oh gosh, that's beautiful, so I must be feeling better. No,
right.
It is subconscious. It just makes you feel good. The difference is that it is now measurable. It is now empirically measurable from the good folks at Johns Hopkins and Salk and Harvard and multiple other institutions today.
Okay. And to that end, then it is also subjective. So somebody else's, I know I'm totally in the weeds, but we have to do this so we can move on.
That's okay.
So to that end, it's also subjective. It's like somebody's, you know, concept mid-century furniture, that's beautiful. But somebody else's, I want Tuscan Mediterranean, that's beautiful. It is still subconscious what is beautiful. But the idea is that designers are missing the opportunity to use it in their messaging to the consumer that by giving yourself and creating for yourself the gift of beauty in your own home, it enhances you at a physical level.
A physical and a mental level. The physical is the reduction of things like heart rate and blood pressure. The emotional is that we're beginning to quantify and qualify the word beauty and feeling better. And I might want to add that all this started for me 4 or 5 years ago with a luncheon meeting when I was still with Lux Magazine. I had a luncheon meeting with Don Ruggles in Denver, a world-class architect. And I was expecting a nice little business lunch, and it was amazing. He started talking about a pet love of his, and the love was essentially how beauty, you know, how beauty affects us individually. How he would look at a home that he had just designed and say, oh, it's perfectly angled to the sun, the degree is this and that, the lines are right. But his customer, his client would say, oh gosh, it's beautiful. Mm. So what was inherent in her and his, the client's thought process? Well, Don went on to write a book that I would heartily recommend. I don't get any commission on this, but it's a great book. It's called Beauty, Neuroscience, and Architecture by Don Ruggles. And if there's anybody in Denver listening, you know he's the head, the founder of Ruggles Mabe Architectural Firm. It is very well written. It could have been written in an academic language. It's written in a very friendly language. And it really gets to the core of some of the questions you just had, Luann. And he'll certainly, he's been my mentor on this. I moved from architecture, his love, to interior design to see how the whole concept of beauty is influenced by interior design. And the health benefits of beauty is influenced by interior design.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. And so now you're on a mission to, you know, right? I mean, listen, I've talked to you a couple of times. It's a mission. Let's be serious.
It really is. You know, it's funny how you get, I've had a great time in the design industry and my whole career. And I just thought, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been learning, I've been studying, and I've been trying to give back and provide designers with the information they need that can make them a better business. It can, you know, the basics of branding, which you and I've talked about, Luann, are essentially brand differentiation. What's your unique selling proposition? And it seems to me that a designer today, a residential designer, who begins to take credit for providing health and wellness and puts it in their website using phrases like we're a health and wellness based design firm and peace of mind, things like that, you will begin to position yourself as separated from the rest of the pack of designers who depend primarily on the aesthetic to talk about. So I'm a torchbearer. I'm on a mission. The more I can do to help interior designers understand their real value proposition, and that's what I think is missing for interior designers today. Your value is greater than what you're giving yourself credit for. You are already providing healthy environments that make your clients healthier and feel better. But you're not getting credit for it.
Right. And that's a sin to leave that off the table because it is, as you said, it's a differentiator. And of course, we've got tens of thousands of designers listening and there are, you know, maybe 10% of them will resonate with this and, you know, connect with this and decide to lean into it. But even individually, each one of them will come to it and lead to and talk about it in a different way. So it's fine if many lean into it, right?
Well, yeah, I hope so. Listen, it's important to understand that the commercial design industry is well ahead of residential design in thinking in terms of the health benefits of design. I've already talked about Apple. I can talk about Amazon, Google up Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn, and you're going to find that commercial design is well ahead of residential. And they're there because of productivity. And in their cases, profitability. You know, a CEO of a company wants the best productivity out of their employees. Well, we know there's a study that was done in Europe 2 years ago of 7,600 different employees that were surrounded by some kind of green or friendly environment in terms of the workplace. Well, the net productivity increase was 6%, and 6% in that study amounted to $3,395 worth of profitability per employee.
Wow.
So if it's important to the commercial industry and they know they're ahead of us, let's catch up. Mm. Let's catch the wave right now in residential design. And you know, you mentioned that some, maybe 10% will do something with this. Let's remember, there are people like early adopters. Mm. Early adopters are the first ones in the industry to do something. And when they're first in, they own it. The second, third, and fourth, and fifth get a piece of that opportunity. But the early adopters are the ones that can get into the space and own it. And that's what I'm trying to do, is get as many early adopters as possible to start realizing that, quite frankly, there's more revenue out there.
Right.
I have clients that have moved from $150 an hour to $200 an hour just because they're starting to use phrases like health and wellness-based design firm. Mm-hmm. Why not you?
Right. Well, I mean, we also have the example of Deborah Damari, who is the founder of vegandesign.org on mm-hmm. the podcast. She was on the podcast also in the first year. And she, I mean, she comes to it from a very personal belief that mm-hmm. design should be vegan. And she first introduced it in her firm in the way that if she could do an either or presentation selection for a client and one was vegan and one was not, and it didn't make any difference to the aesthetic, she quietly began her career just doing vegan. And then ultimately she just said, no, this is my conviction. This is what mm-hmm. I want to do. And mm-hmm. every project, then every component was vegan. And then she began by teaching vegan design. And I know designers, I'm thinking of Chloe Bullock from the UK, and there's others that have found vegandesign.org through the podcast, and it has exploded their businesses in the sense that it means something to them, and therefore they lead with it in their design, and it has attracted clients to them that will, you know, in any other situation, to your point, the differentiator might not have been there. And so there they go with them, and their pipelines have been full. And so to your point, it, you know, even like with your point with the CEOs, they do it from the standpoint of wanting to make, you know, more money to increase the productivity, but it does increase and it does enhance the lives of the people that work there too, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's a great pool of people to start with, the people who are experiencing it in their work environment, you know, to advertise and to call out to them and saying, you're lucky enough to be working in this environment in work. Are you duplicating it at home? What are you doing? Right.
Well, yeah. And the thing I would also add is that there are several designers. When I do my CEU classes around the country, I have so many designers come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I've been doing this. I haven't used those words.
Right.
So let's open our minds to some of these fresh phrases. When I started this 2 years ago, I was working with two great designers, Nicole Baxter in Raleigh and Michelle Castagna in Boca Raton. And we started doing seminars, CEU classes around the country. And all of a sudden, those classes have found other names that have been just attracted to this. I work with Stacey Lapik in San Francisco, Lawrence Carr in Jersey, Shelley Rosenberg, whose company's name is Acorn and Oak in Dallas, Sarah Chirelli in Tampa. All of these people and so many more are people that want to grow in this space and take ownership of their part of it. And I just certainly invite other designers to consider doing the same.
I love it. Lawrence Carr was on the show as well. She's one heck of a business lady, that
lady.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Okay. So I love this. And so the thing about it is let's take a step back and tell me some of the new terms that are coming into the industry as a result of this movement, switching and reaching into more of the residential market.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. When you have a new influence, a new initiative in an industry, all of a sudden with it comes new phrases, new terms that we need to know. One of the first is being studied in the world of academia, and it's environmental psychology. Now, it hasn't really hit. We can kind of understand the phrase, but what's happening now in universities across the country and around the world is that the universities are studying what happens psychologically in a particular environment. They want to understand the influences so that those influences, the positive influences, can be capitalized on and included in living in that particular space. So environmental psychology is one of the first phrases, first terms that you might want to know. A second would be sensory design. Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty basic. You know, it's related to the human senses of vision, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. But in what's being studied in sensory design right now is that it extends to the sensations that extend beyond just the primary senses. And what I'm talking about is things like temperature, vibrations, and pressure. And I guess a good example is, you know, we see a beautiful leather sofa. Okay, we want it. We do indeed go sit in that leather sofa. Well, we feel comfort. But the extrasensory sensations are what happens with the crunch sound when we sit in that leather sofa as compared to sitting in an upholstered sofa. Those are the things that are being studied now in terms of sensory design.
Interesting.
We've all heard of a – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that goes back to Deborah, you know, for vegandesign.org. She would tell you that there are definitely sensory things happening when you're sitting on a live animal as opposed to a faux piece of leather. So the crunch, you know, aside, but the senses that come off on the tiny bits of smells and different things. And, you know, that she, her position is that that has a negative effect on you, you know, that you don't even realize.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Now, we've all heard of the term aromatherapy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the term that is kind of like a sibling to that is chromotherapy. And I guess I would suspect that many of us have heard of that, but essentially we're talking about the healing component and benefit of chromotherapy. Light's composed of like colors and chemicals and emotional elements. And that chromotherapy is something that is now, and you've seen some of the beautiful pieces for baths and saunas that are being used. It too is now hit our languages.
Wow.
I've already mentioned the word neuroaesthetics, and essentially this is an outgrowth. This is the utilization of the Harvards and the Johns Hopkins. Neuroscience is being blended with aesthetics, and we are now learning that it's not just the prettiness or the attractiveness of an image, it's what it does to us neurologically. And that's why the word neuroaesthetics is a word that really should be used in our conversation today, because we are deeply involved. We don't know it, we don't realize it, but we are deeply involved in the world of neuroaesthetics. And the last phrase I'll give you is a fun one. It's called Shinrin Yoku. And don't laugh. Shinrin Yoku is a Japanese term. It was born in the late 1980s, where doctors, the medical industry in Japan, were experimenting with and testing the impact of sending someone into the forest for a certain time period. So Shinrin Yoku translated means forest bathing. And they had 420 patients that they sent into the forest over a couple of years. And essentially, they learned that Shinrin Yoku forest bathing was able to heal and lift emotional and mental statuses. And so Shinrin Yoku today is a medicine in Japan. It is not an action, an activity. They actually, instead of a bottle of pills, doctors prescribe forest bathing to lift the spirits of their clients. Now, Shinrin Yoku is also a sibling to biophilic design. And biophilic design is pretty much the darling of our industry right now. Everybody's trying to grasp onto some sense of nature, but Shinrin Yoku is going out into nature to improve your health. And biophilic design is essentially bringing nature into the home to improve your health. So those are the new phrases and new terms that are popping up, and they're fun to study. That's part of what I love to do.
So I can actually see the moment in time that we're in, the how valuable this would be, because we're all – forget the marketing part of it, right? Forget that. Mm-hmm. Forget about all of that. But it's appealing right now as a human being to want to be your best self. And so it's what new exercise are we doing? What yoga are we doing to quiet and meditate the mind? Deep breathing is, you know, absolutely proven to have a physiological change on your body. Just, I remember my dad, he's passed away now, but in the last 2 years of his life, he was starting to suffer from dementia. And so I was really reading a lot about it. And I remember one of the most significant things was just the act of standing up every 20 minutes and taking 5 deep breaths positively affects your physiological body and mind in ways that you just can't even imagine the benefits of. It seems so simple. And the sin of it was is to try and explain to someone who is in the beginning stages of losing their mind, right, that this simple 2 movements could affect them. It seemed too far-fetched, but the literature proves it. And what you're saying is this is along those lines, and people are open to this now. I can just feel that if you could start to express to a potential client that within your capabilities of design and beauty, you could also design a bedroom that supports them from a physiological standpoint. Why wouldn't I want that, right?
Yeah, and I think that it's important if you're a designer wanting to start talking this way. This is grounded in authority. One of the things that in my studies that I've learned is that the medical industry is way ahead of the design industry in understanding what designers can do to improve health. I'll give you a sample. The University of Texas has a phenomenal medical school, and the head of the medical industry recently said, and let me see if I can find, oh, her name is Dr. Claudia Miller. Architects and designers have a greater ability to improve public health than medical professionals.
Wow.
Now, just think about that for a minute. Have any of us even thought that way? Here's a medical industry person saying that we have a better chance at improving health than the medical industry. So if they understand that, the value of a proper environment, let's us start taking advantage of it. Right. Let's us start getting credit for it. And it goes along with an article that was just posted in the last several months by Dr. Douglas Wood, I think, at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He's the head of innovation at the Mayo Clinic. And he said point blank that the future of medicine is in the home. Now, why did he say that? He said it because the home is preventative and it's curative.
Wow.
So you put together these thoughts and this acknowledgement from different parts of the medical industry that they know something we're not realizing yet. So, hey, folks, let's realize it. Let's start implementing this and differentiating ourselves. Sorry, I don't mean to go on, Luann.
No, I know you're so passionate about it.
If you need to.
You know, it's so fun to spend time with someone that really, really 110% believes in what they're doing. It's contagious, and it's just amazing. And I'm grateful that you're here doing it. So taking it another level and another step further, you can't just say it, though. You can't just throw the buzzwords around. You have to have some information and some education to back it up as a designer, right?
Yes,
yeah.
You really do. And look, anybody that's listening that wants to learn a little bit more, please give me a call. I'm happy to talk to you. As you can tell, I love the subject. I love sharing information on the subject. And I love helping each and every one of you individually somehow included in your business. For an introduction to this, go to my website. And there's a whole page devoted to design harmony. The website's visionarydm.com. Come to any of the CEU classes that we do. We've done CEU classes on design harmony over the last year in, like Atlanta and Phoenix and Dallas and High Point and 4 or 5 other locations. I'm going to be doing a Zoom CEU class on design harmony sometime in August. I'm still working out the dates. And in that, just so that you know, in that class, you'll learn more about how the medical industry is supporting what we're talking about today. You'll learn about how workplace design is so far ahead of us. You'll learn about nature-based design. And I think importantly, we include a section in our class on how to begin marketing yourself as a health and wellness-based design firm. That's critical. It first comes, it's dependent on your confidence and your conviction that you really do believe this, and you should. And once you have that confidence and conviction, you can begin talking about it with all of the right words. Words that, you know, one of the descriptions we have, Luann, for what we do, design harmony represents a designer's ability to create through beauty, design, and nature a home environment that nurtures and encourages health and wellness. Now, that's a sentence that could easily go on any of the websites that are listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Through beauty and design, designers provide neuroaesthetic benefits that improve psychological and emotional welfare. These are all things that will be taught in that class. You can call me on it. I'm happy to talk to the industry. And are you ready to shut me up yet?
Not at all. No, I'm so glad to know that you're going to be doing it through Zoom because, you know, in this.
Yes, compared to Skype.
Well, right. We had our troubles today, didn't we? But I just mean in this COVID-19, it's hard to know when and where we're going to be able to gather again and what the parameters and the rules will be. And so I'm so glad that you've made the pivot to offer this to interior designers by Zoom because nobody wants to wait. If you're listening to something like this and it gets you fired up, you don't want to wait to have to understand and start to learn it. And so we have the resources of Doug Ruggles' book and your website. Are there other resources that you suggest that designers look into in order to start to familiarize themselves with this, Mike?
Yeah. There's another book written by Stephen Kellert, who's pretty much the father of biophilic design. It's called Nature by Design. Is another excellent book. And I will tell you, on my website, I have a bibliography of all of the articles. I have about 25 to 30 articles and books on the website.
Oh,
please
great.
Feel free to go to that. There's too many to just recite right now. But you have articles that have been done by academics, and you have articles in The Atlantic Magazine, Mother Earth News, which deals with nature. There's a famous study. You may have heard of it. It's the Terrapin Bright Green 14 Pattern Study. Mm-hmm. It's a lengthy study, 48 pages. But if you're interested in the subject, it's worth Googling and getting your hands on that. But yes, there's a lot of information out on the subject now. And remember, biophilic design is one part of what we call design harmony. Design harmony is that the emotional benefit you get from that room that makes you feel better. And it is now documented that you will be in a healthy environment.
I love it. And that's what I have to say is the little twisty aha moment I had during your conversation that I would love for designers to pick up on is I often, when I have a conversation with you guys, whatever expertise you bring to the show, whether it's an interior designer that's talking about their expertise or a business consultant like yourself, I often will process the information, not just as the interviewee and trying to be the voice and the questions of my audience listening, but as a consumer. Where how does this hit me? Do I like this idea? Do I not like this idea? What would I say if somebody was telling me this at my kitchen table, right?
Right.
Like a busy person like me, if you could explain to me with authority and with clarity how making adjustments in my environment through design would support me on a subconscious level to be healthier, I would do it. I would do it. I would be like, oh, because to me, it's like multitasking. I'm living and I'm also being supported. Love it.
Well, it's interesting you say that because one of the other things that we like to talk about is that most designers will have a series of questions that they ask at the beginning of a first interview.
Right.
And we've added questions to what they may consider, things like describe what makes you happy in life and in your home.
Right.
Another question that we got from one of our seminars, one of the attendees at the seminar, what kind of a relationship do you want to have with your home environment?
Mm. Right.
Interesting.
And what I'm explaining to you is the other side of it, because without a conversation like this, I might have said, I don't know. I want it to function for me. But after, but if you asked me a question on a questionnaire, designers out there, that said, if your home could support you at a subconscious level by bringing calmness, you know, blah, 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 into your life, I would check yes. You see? Right. And then when you meet me, you're like, and you started to say to me, would you be interested in how I can design your bedroom, your living room to do this? Mm-hmm. I would say yes. And then I would start giving you my money to do it. I know it. So,
and you'd be paying more for those services.
That's the point. And it would be valuable to me.
Well, it's pretty much part of the role of a designer to do that today, because after all, how many consumers even think about this portion of their life? So it's incumbent on who to help them understand it. It's incumbent on the designer.
It's a truth.
It needs to become part of our roles as designers.
Yes. And from the beginning of our conversation to the end, I've had the major aha moment on if I were interviewing two designers. Even if I were just typical Luann running 900 miles an hour and I only was hiring a designer to get something done, I wasn't emotionally attached, that would get me engaged. That would, right? You see, it would. And if it was between the two and one talked about it and the other didn't, I would probably lean into the other, even if they were more expensive, to your point.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, because it's like human nature is to want every advantage at your disposal. And that's an advantage. It's like saying, if I drink this, you know, cup of tea, it's got this kind of antioxidant in it and this one doesn't. Okay, give me the one with the antioxidant. This design will support you and, you know, increase your health and be, like you said, preventative and curative. Yeah, I'll take two rooms like that, please.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it really does change the value proposition that a designer has as related to other interior designers. It really does.
Absolutely.
It's a differentiator and will help designers stand out.
Right. Yep. I fully hear and believe that now. Big. And this is the several times that we've talked, and that's a huge shift in my understanding with this conversation. So I love it. I think it's awesome. I appreciate you so much for coming on and opening our eyes and our minds to this sort of shift. And of course, every one of us, when you said things like the commercial industry has known this for years and now the residential industry needs to get on board, we can all recognize that. That's like, oh, right. We do know that that has always, you know, that has been going on for many years. So why not now, residential? Actually, great question, Mike. Great question.
My pleasure. It's been great to talk to you, Luann. I appreciate it very much. Be well.
Thank you. All right, I did use the word jazzed, didn't I? I was right, though, right? He is jazzed up about this, and that's because he very clearly sees the opportunity for you in this field of health and wellness. I imagine many of you are attracted to this simply and easily because of the actual tangible benefits that it will provide to your clients in terms of improved health, both mental and physical, right? To know that you have a part in this for the people that you serve, I'm sure would be insanely gratifying. And as I said during the program, it does remind me so much of my friend Deborah Damari's passion for vegan design. She is committed to it in every way because she loves knowing she is improving her clients' lives and by extension, all the lives of all the designers' clients that she has taught vegan design over the years. And I can see the same trajectory here. I can also see the business side of this, right? Which is what has Mike fired up as a marketing consultant, right? In this day when everyone is bemoaning the availability of design items on the internet, this is a differentiator. Your client can go and buy the sofa and the things on the internet, but they don't know how to put it together so that it actually impacts your health and your wellness, right? The scale, all of that. It's the beauty of the design is the mix. It's what you do to it. You see, that's your differentiator. It's what you do it. Beautiful pieces are beautiful pieces, but all the beautiful pieces in one spot don't necessarily make a beautiful room. That's you. That's your intellectual property. You can do that. And you know what? If you need to learn more about it, you can. You can educate yourself on how the health and wellness impacts your client and how what you design creates and makes that impact, okay? So this is the thing, to bring this intangible benefit to your firm so that you can use it to literally attract clients to you that will resonate with this. All right, so if you're interested, I urge you to sign up for Mike's Zoom class. As he said, you'll get a CEU credit if that's important to you in your professional development. And the class is only $40. I mean, it's a no-brainer in my book, right? It's going to be held August 13th, 2020. All right. So if you're listening in the future, you might have missed it. However, you can always go to visionarydesignmarketing.com. If you go to visionarydesignmarketing.com, click on his events page for this link. Okay. I'm also going to put the link in my show notes. All right. So you can just, if you're on the iPhone, you can just go to the show notes and click on it and you can go right through to registration. I've also included in the show notes the episodes with Lawrence Carr and Deborah Damari if you'd like to listen to these for more context in this field. All right. And I've also included in the show notes the information on the book Mike mentioned, Nature by Design by Stephen Keller. All right. So, I mean, this is the industry is grabbing hold of this. I have to say, Dallas Market Center, South Florida Design Park, ADAC, I mean, San Francisco Design Center, the Florida Design Magazine, Aspire Magazine, like lots, Denver Design Center, lots of the organizations and places that we love and respect in our industry are looking to investigate this, support this, understand this, because this is truly a marketing opportunity on top of an actual benefit to each of the consumers that you serve. So I hope that you enjoyed this. And if it resonates with you, please be a part of it. And I want to say to you, thank you so much for joining me today. Decide to be excellent. Thank you so much for joining me again today. This podcast is a production of Window Works, your resource for custom window treatments and awnings. To learn how we can help you on your next interior design project, go to www.windowworks-nj.com. And if you're interested in working with me on your business, either through masterminds or one-on-one coaching, or you want to know how to get my book, The Making of a Well-Designed Business, or you just want to know what's going on in the podcast land, and where I'm going to be. All of that is found at luannigara.com. Thank you so much. Have an excellent day.